thankful for Dale and Lana and what they're doing and what God has planned for them in this church. I know this church loves them, and I'm thankful for HT and him coming to the family, and he's a great addition to the family, and we got to get more seats in that row for him, or we got to designate another row for him. So Bill and Beth, just be ready. They're going to start bringing people now to start sitting next to you guys. So I'm excited to see what God's doing. And I'm glad God loves us. And we all have similar testimonies of our faithfulness or the lack thereof in God's mercy and kindness. And you know, the 23rd Psalm in one point mentions, "And surely goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our life." And what we have to understand is that word "follow" right there in the Hebrew is a very, it's not a passive, just kind of trailing along behind you, HT. That "follow" there, what David's talking about, "surely goodness and mercy shall follow me," is more like a hot pursuit. It's likened into like a dog chasing its quarry. So we're all glad, HT, just like you've experienced. We've all experienced that at some level. His mercy just chasing us and pursuing us. And so I am so thankful for that. Amen. About this time every year, we do have a kind of a Christmas project that we do. And this time is going to be a little different because I'm going to announce to you something that we've already done. So it's not something that we're going to ask from you this time. But because you've already been so faithful in your giving, we've been able to do something already that's already been done. And so what we decided to do is to give a Christmas offering, a Christmas gift to some of our missionaries. And so we sent the Alphans, we sent them some Christmas money here just a few weeks ago. We sent them $1,000. We sent the Clevengers from Japan, we sent them $1,000. We sent the Thompson family from Guatemala, their missionaries there, we sent them $1,000. The Walmer family, Mike Walmer, I went to Bible college with him. We also sent them $1,000. They're in Brazil and Uruguay. $1,000 to the Zenobia family. You remember them? They were here just several weeks ago on their way to Spain. We gave them also $1,000. And also the Matsui family. Now, they're not missionaries, but he is a young man that I went to Bible school with. Okay, so he's not a young man either anymore, neither am I. But when we were young men, we went to Bible school together. And so Brother Matsui is a national there in Tokyo, and he pastors a few churches, and he travels all over the place preaching at these churches. And so we are sending him $1,000 as well. And so I want to give this church a hand for your support and your giving throughout the year. It has allowed us to be able to do this. We wanted to do this early instead of just sending something right at Christmas time because we want them to be able to shop. We want to get them. We want to give them the opportunity to have some Black Friday sales. So we sent this out a week or two ago, a couple weeks ago, and so they could get the money so they could start doing their Christmas shopping. And missionaries should be able to celebrate Christmas too, and they shouldn't have to be financially wondering where that's going to happen. So we're in a position to be able to bless them and be a blessing to them. And so I thank you for your giving faithfully throughout the year. This is a giving church. This church is just so thankful and they're so faithful in their giving, and I appreciate that. And it's fun to be able to do this, to be able to bless somebody and be a blessing to them. I'm going to just give us just a couple of scriptures today. How many is already in Thanksgiving mode? What I mean by that is you're going to go to work tomorrow, but you're not really going to go to work tomorrow. I mean, you're already checked out. You're already thinking about Thursday. You're going to go clock in, but you're not really thinking about moving anything meaningful forward tomorrow. You're just kind of in coast mode. Come on, who's? All right. I'm in the right place then. So I'm in vacation. When I felt the presence of the Lord when I walked into the Circleville Church today, I just felt like just basking in His presence and just being with family. I already felt that Thanksgiving presence that many times I come to church and I'm trying to black the devil's eye, or I'm trying to do something great for Jesus, or I'm trying to move something forward with the kingdom, and I really have plans on accomplishing something that service. I'm not accomplishing anything today except for drinking in His presence, just drinking up the presence of God and being with my family, being with my church family, and enjoying the presence of God and being with people that I love. And I think we need to do that once in a while. And so what I first want to do is I want to draw your attention to something that is an indication of where our world is today and how the Bible feels about being thankful. So it's going to show us in this part of the passage, it's going to show us in 2 Timothy 3 that in these times in the world that there will be people, that things will be so bad that people will be unthankful. Now you're going to see that this is going to be listed in a bunch of godless things that it would seem somewhat out of place, but it just shows how important being thankful is to God. So in this passage, 2 Timothy, we can remain seated today because of the way we're kind of doing the service today. 2 Timothy chapter 3, starting at verse 1. I'll read out of the King James. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. Now it's going to start listing how we're going to know things are bad. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. See if this looks like the world we're in right now. Covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful. That seems out of place, but it's really not. Unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, means people don't keep their word. False accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away. Now, I could do a whole lesson, perhaps a series of lessons, on all these things. I just want us today to just for just a minute focus on one of the things that will be reminiscent of these last days is people will be unthankful. Everyone say unthankful. We are unfortunately in such an entitlement mentality. I heard a man say last night that I'd never heard this before, but Mark Twain said this. Mark Twain said, if you find a dog, an old battered dog that's just been mistreated and abused, and you take that dog in, and you feed it, and you care for it, and you love on that dog, that dog will love you the rest of his life. And herein lies the difference between dogs and men. And then he goes on to talk. This is a pastor that said this, and he's quoting from Mark Twain, and he's actually talking to Dr. Dobson on this program. And so they begin to talk about how many times it seems like the people that you help the most are the least likely to be loyal or to return that. And so we're in a day and age in our world right now where people are unthankful. It's a very mean world right now. It's a lot of road rage. It's a lot of people that don't get their ways. And here's what you find out. You find out that people that are generally thankful are people that generally have the most peace. Now, don't equate being thankful with people that have perfect lives. Because you'll find that people that are the most thankful are not the people that have the most ideal circumstances. Don't wait for life to give you something to be thankful for. You have to determine on the inside, I'm going to be thankful, because things could always be worse. So Brother Parsley, thank you for reminding me about the deer that just decided to just run into the side of my truck while I'm going down the highway. I should have at least put it on the back and just hauled it to our final destination and then had roast for a couple days. But no, I was too upset to just, I didn't want to go through all that. But I will tell you that while I was waiting for the local sheriff to show up to make a report, I was like, we're an hour away from home. Man, we were almost there. We pray before every trip we take. We stop at the end of my driveway and we pray. I got back into the truck after the police made his report and I said, did we pray this time? She said, yes. I said, are you sure? She said, yes, right at the end of the driveway. Because it felt like, well, every other time we prayed, and when nothing like this happens, I always pray against unsafe drivers and mechanical difficulties and that we would be safe and that nothing would happen. But this time it didn't work. That's what I felt like. It didn't work this time. She said, yeah, we prayed. And then I thought, okay, if that deer would have been a second faster, or if I would have been a second slower, we'd have had a tow truck. It would have hit the front of my vehicle. There would have been a lot more damage than the dent in my door. There would have been a lot more at stake. There would have been a lot more moving parts with tow trucks and a trailer that I was pulling. How do I get a vehicle that'll get me and my wife and a trailer with some stuff on it to the house when they tow away my truck? And so all these things helped me to realize that I had something to be thankful for. Well, I didn't hit a deer, I got hit by a deer. And yet I was still thankful because it could have been so much worse. I told you a few weeks ago, we got back from a trip, went to conference, tacked on a few extra days and saw a few things and came home to find out our refrigerator was leaking, leaky floor, all this. What was I thankful for in that? I'm standing in my basement watching drips of water come through onto some clothing and things that were put away for winter that are getting wet now. And I'm thinking about the floor heaving up and thinking about all this I got to do now that I didn't want to do and how I've already replaced the floor twice. And here I am on number three. I think I'll get it right this time, hopefully. And so, but I'm thinking about this. And what am I thankful for? I'm thankful because I know there's people in North Carolina that are living in motels or in campers because their entire homes and neighborhoods have been wiped out. And I'm thanking God that I have a floor to repair. I'm thanking God that I have a refrigerator to repair the leaky line that ruined my floor. That in comparison to that, I found that I could really be thankful in that moment. So you can always be thankful for something. Sometimes you have to look a little harder than others, but you can find something to be thankful for. So in these last times, we'll find that people will be unthankful. So if you find yourself being unthankful and feeling entitled and feeling like you're not thankful for something, take a deep breath and begin to look a little farther. Whatever you're fixated on, whatever the bad thing is that's happening, you can find some good things around, some good things that are happening, and God has placed some good people around you. So now a couple of scriptures that support being thankful. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. It is the will of God that you find a way to give thanks in every situation. It is His will. It's good to be in God's will. If you want to be in the flow of His blessing, you also have to be in His will. You have to be pursuing what His will is in your life. And there are many things that are specific to you. He didn't call me to Finland. He called them. The will of God for them was to sell it all and to go to Finland. That was specifically the will of God for them. But generally and scripturally for all of us, it is the will of God that in everything we give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And so we have to find that in every circumstance, we have to find something to be thankful for. I'm glad it wasn't worse. Or you might even be thankful that it happened to you and not to somebody else that couldn't handle it. You might be thankful that something that did go wrong or go bad that happened to you because you're able to handle it and you know you're able to. This would have been the straw that would have broken the camel's back if this was somebody else. And so we find ways to be thankful. And as we celebrate Thanksgiving, I think it shouldn't just be a day or two holiday where we get together with family and we're thankful. It really should be a reminder of what we should be the rest of the year. And I don't mean till December 31st. I mean throughout an entire lifetime. It should be a reminder that we should be thankful. It should be a day that we really focus in on all the things that really matter. Your family. The fact that you have food. The fact that you're gathering together. The fact that you have loved ones to celebrate with. Ephesians 5:20, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so we not only give him thanks in everything, but for all things. Now it would seem to me that we have to move into kind of a trust zone here. Because in everything, I can be thankful while I'm in it, but to be thankful for the thing happening, I don't always understand what is happening. I don't understand sometimes if it's God, if it's the devil, if it's just life, if it's my poor decision. Sometimes I don't even know why it's happening. So it's hard sometimes to be thankful for something that's happening when I don't know if this is punishment or God's trying to get me to grow. But all I know is in that circumstance, even if I don't understand it, I'm still supposed to give him thanks because he understands. I don't think Joseph understood any of it until the very end. I don't think he got any of it. I'm sure Job never got it. Yeah, but he ended up with multiplied times at the end of the story. I don't see anywhere where Job was ever given any intel of what the whole story was about. Hey, Job, the enemy was going to and fro looking for somebody to tempt, and I chose you. I don't know that the scripture says that anywhere, where Job ever found out, oh, you mean I was just a test? I was just used as a trophy to give you glory? Thank God you chose me. I don't ever see where Job was given that intel. But yet, in everything, we're to give thanks. Because we have to trust that if God's allowing something to happen, whether I understand it or not, whether it makes sense or not, God, I'm going to give you thanks because I trust you. And you know what I'm going through, and I'm going to put my faith and my trust in you. Last night I heard a story of a minister was talking about a particular bird in New Zealand, that this particular species of bird were losing their wings. They were losing their feathers. And they found out why is because there was no natural predators to that bird on that particular area of New Zealand. And so without the use of those wings, without the strength of those wings, they were just losing their feathers and they were just walking around gathering food because they had no need. They had no resistance. Now, I kind of prefer being that bird. I kind of like the easy life. I kind of like just walking around a buffet just when I'm hungry and just eat whatever I want. I'd kind of like a life of no struggle. But unfortunately, we pray prayers like, God, use me. God, help me to bring you glory. God, help me to do something great for you. And therein lies the struggle, because we're not going to do anything great for God in ease. There's going to be struggle. There's going to be discomfort. We want the story. We want the story of the testimony without the test. We want the story of all the great things God used me to do, but we don't want any of the story of the struggle in the midst of it. We love to hear from soldiers. We don't want to hear from the guy that was just in a file cabinet, you know, his whole 20 years in the military, just he was doing accounting and he was going through files. We don't want to hear stories about that. We want to hear from people that were in combat. Those are the stories that really get our attention. And so we are as Christians. We get placed in the battle, and we have to be thankful for times that we are in the battle. Years ago, a university did a study where they were making this ecosystem that was totally enclosed. And in this ecosystem, they had fruit trees and different types of trees and nut trees and vegetables and gardens and all these different things they were growing. And they were having struggles with the trees. They couldn't figure it out because they made the humidity just like the humidity was outside. They made everything, the sunshine, they had it coming through panels in the ceiling, and when the sun would go down, everything was exact. They couldn't figure out why these trees were not producing, and then they figured it out. Storms. They couldn't reproduce storms. You see, when storms would happen outside, they would not be happening inside, and so the root system was weak. Here's what they found out about storms. Storms begin to move trees. And as those trees begin to move, those roots begin to pull and begin to struggle. But then when the storm stops, it's easy now for those roots to grow because they've loosened up the soil. So those roots now grow quicker. Then the next storm comes. Now some may get blown over. Some may not survive the storm. But the ones that did, their root system got stronger and stronger to where they could survive any storm. They could not reproduce storms inside of that biosphere, inside of that area that they had all closed off. What I find that many times as God's trying to do is he's trying to bring us into situations to get us to get our roots deeper. Anybody but me ever seem to find more time to pray when you're going through some crisis? I mean, man, we're too busy. We're too busy even ministry sometimes to pray. But boy, you can free up some time quickly if the phone rings just right. You get the right news from the attorney or the accountant or the doctor. You get the right news and all of a sudden I just found some time. And so it's the struggle that does that. And so in this, we have to learn how to be thankful for everything and in everything. It is generally much easier to be thankful in everything because many times we can see ourselves getting out of those circumstances. It is often more difficult to be thankful for everything because we don't often understand the reason or the purpose for the circumstances that we're in. That is when we have to move from faith to trust. Psalm 107:1 says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy, HT, endures forever." Give thanks to the Lord, for he's good. You don't have to have a theology degree to know that he's good. You don't have to have a great, huge, in-depth understanding of the Lord to just get this simple principle. The Lord is good. Many times, and we say it here, sometimes you'll hear somebody say it, you hear a preacher or somebody will say something, you'll say, "The Lord is good," and somebody will say, that's just us understanding and realizing that that's just who he is, that's just how he works, that's just how he rolls. The Lord is good all the time. He's just good. I'm not good all the time. I try to be all the time, but the Lord really is all the time, and his mercy endures forever. Colossians 3:15, "And let the peace of God," now I want you to understand, the peace of God, "let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which you also are called in one body, and be ye thankful." Here's the pattern that I've seen. Sometimes we're waiting to have peace to be thankful.
Man, if I just get some peace in my life, if everything would just go all right, I could have some peace and then I could be thankful. But here's what I find, because most people that I know that just are people that I would equate with people that are people of peace, people that feel like they have peace. I feel peace when I'm around them. It's odd because those aren't always the people that have the perfect lives. But here's what I find, that those are generally people that are thankful. Without perfect lives, without perfect circumstances, they are thankful for what God is doing in their life. And therefore, they're people of peace. So it would be just the opposite of what we would think in the natural, that if I get a perfect life, perfect situation, then I'll have peace, then I'll be thankful. It's really, if you're going to operate by faith, it's really just the opposite. I got chaos, I got circumstances, I got drama, I got stuff going on I don't even understand. But I'm going to put my faith and trust in Him. It's going to be okay, whether here or the hereafter, it's going to be all right. I'm going to put my faith and my trust in Him, and I'm not going to worry, I'm not going to fret. I'm going to let the peace of God rule in my life. So what am I thankful for as I move towards a close? The musicians come. Sister Alphen touched on it. I already had it in my notes, but truth. What do I know about God? Everything I need to know about God's in the book. I don't have to guess. Well, I think God is this. I think God will do this. I think God is this. I think he thinks this way. I think he feels this way about it. I don't have to guess about any of that, because he has preserved his word that could not be destroyed. No matter how much humanity tried to destroy his word, he did not let it happen, because he wanted there to be a record that if we wanted to find him, if we wanted to know anything about him, if we wanted to know anything about us, or what we needed to be, or what we needed to become, or whatever we needed to do to be saved, he wanted to make sure that that would be preserved, that we would never have to wonder what any of those things are. We would have it preserved in his word. I'm thankful for truth. There is absolute truth, by the way. I've heard people say there is no absolute truth. They just made an absolute statement right there. You said there is no truth. That's an absolute. So if there's no absolute truth, you just defeated your own argument. There are some absolutes. Now, I can have preferences and opinions, but there is truth. I can have an opinion that the sun's not up right now. It doesn't change the truth. I can have a preference. I can have an opinion. It doesn't change the truth. I can't redefine a truth. And I can tell you this, there is no hope outside of his word. His word is truth. Whatever hope I have in eternity, I got to find it in that book, because that's truth, and I'm thankful for it. I'm thankful for salvation. I preached a funeral yesterday. I'm thankful that I don't have to preach a funeral and just think that everything just came to a screeching halt when somebody took their last breath. I told a story today in Circleville. I remember myself and Brother Kent Smucker baptizing Jim Francis. How many of you remember Jim? Francis, with his crippled body, he couldn't hardly walk without that walker, and he couldn't hardly, under just a few of us could understand what he was saying when he would talk. those gnarled hands from that cerebral palsy. I don't know how old Jim was. He had to be in his 60s. Maybe he made it to his 70s. I don't think Jim ever had a date. He never drove a car. I don't know what his educational level was. That man dealt with that body his entire life. Kent Smucker and I got robes on. We put Jim Francis in the chair. We went up on that platform, and we all three got into that tub together. And we lowered Jim Francis down into the waters of baptism and brought him back up. Baptized him in Jesus' name. Man, that's not fair that that guy has that broken body his whole life. And I'm complaining that I got a sprained ankle or something. I got to use crutches. And he's behind a walker his entire life. Probably 2 years after I was pastoring in Circleville, I got a phone call. It was the most conflicting phone call I've ever had in my life. Jim Francis just passed away. Jim was sweet. No teeth, but a $1 million smile. He'd smile with his whole head. Just ear to ear. Jim was like the church mascot, man. Everybody loved Jim. But here's why I'm thankful for salvation, because Jim wasn't in that broken body anymore. Jim got saved in our church, and the hope that I have in eternity is that even if you have a circumstance that you don't see yourself getting out of in this lifetime, I got good news for you. There's a hereafter that we're here after. And there's a hope after this life that no matter what happens, I'm telling you, there's an eternity that there is no more pain, there is no more suffering, there is no more sorrow, that we get a new body, we get a new life, we get a new shot. We get it's forever sealed, it's forever done, and so we don't have to do it again. We can be saved throughout eternity. I'm thankful for salvation. I'm telling you, my wife and I are just, it has been the most impactful book that I have read in decades. The book called Imagine Heaven. And it's people that have had near death or death experiences that have been resuscitated, whether in a car accident or on a surgical table. And these are pilots, surgeons, these are engineers, these are people that have nothing to gain by their story. These are people in India, these are people of different religions, different denominations, but they're having a lot of the same instances happen, verifying that there is life after this life. It is the most incredible book of what people are experiencing. I'm thankful that there is salvation. I'm thankful that it doesn't end here, that this is just part of the journey, that we continue to live somewhere, and I want to make sure that I make plans through His Word to go to the right place. I'm thankful for a relational God. You have to excuse me. I still have to grapple with this. I still grapple with, as awesome as God is, that He really wants to spend time with me. Oh, but you're pastor. I'm Bill. I'm your pastor, and I get it. I understand it, but I know me. I'm not living a sinful life or anything, but I'm just, I wrestle with the fact that this awesome God want to spend time with me.
I'm thankful for my wife and my kids. I can't even begin to tell you what impact they have. I've never had to struggle with trying to get them to help us with church stuff. Ever. They have loved the work of the Lord. God called me to pastor two churches, and they just jumped right in. Now they're kind of settling in. Some are a little bit more settled in here. Some are a little bit more settled in Circleville. Some are kind of bounce around at both. I mean, I say some, I've only got four kids, so don't think I have like, I don't know how many kids I have. I've got so many. Well, once you get past three, it does kind of get blurry after a while, but I've got four, I know that. But the family's growing, now I've got a grandbaby, and there's, you know, there's spouses and things mixed in the mix now. But they add so much to the kingdom and so much help to the church. Time together, and we're looking forward to this Thanksgiving. I enjoy my kids. I enjoy my family. My wife, goes without saying, is my soulmate. She just my love, my friend. Some would think that we're got some kind of psycho codependency. It's just, she's so awesome, I just want to be around her a lot. So that's kind of how it is. So I love what she adds to the kingdom. I especially love what she adds to my kingdom. She's the love of my life. I said it earlier, this is my last point. I said earlier, there is church love. And you can see one or two posts. And again, I'm not denying that people don't get hurt in church. Churches are messed up. They got people in them. So if you want to find a perfect church, go for it. But just know this, as soon as you show up there, it's not going to be perfect anymore. Because you're messed up too. It's like the rest of us. We're all jacked up, so we're imperfect people. But so is your family, because we're people. And so we're all working towards perfection. We want to do better, but understand this. There is also church love. Dale, is there church love? I mean, not just because you married Lana. I mean, you know, the church family. Justin, I mean, I mentioned it earlier with Mark and Glenda, brother and sister Alfin, that going to their house and falling asleep on their couch after liver and onions and the salad with the little baby carrots and the little poppy seed dressing that mom used to make, oh. You know, it makes sense to me. That's why your dad and I used to go for walks afterwards, because I'd end up falling asleep on the couch. So to keep me from sleeping on the couch, he'd take me for a walk and we'd talk about ministry stuff. It's all making sense to me now. What am I talking? I'm talking about church love. I'm talking about people of God that are reaching out. And these TCT, these Church Triumphant Families, it's not just something that we do just to have something else to do. This is building life. This is building community. This is building relationship. This is doing life with each other. So we understand each other and we know each other. Let's all stand.
Today's altar call is a little different. You know, we never really come to the altar as some, you know, salvation thing and lift your hand, and we don't really do that. But what I will ask you to do today is, as I'm inviting everyone to come to the altar and either bring a friend or family member or join together with somebody when you get up here. If you're a guest, somebody will join together with you. And what I'd like to do is just spend a few moments just being thankful for what we have. And you begin to tell the Lord what you're thankful for. Something that He's done or something that you have that you're grateful and thankful for. And let's spend a few moments thanking the Lord for what we have. And because we've all, now understand this, we've all have experienced some type of loss or setback. But there is still always something that we can be thankful for. There's still something that if we're not careful, we can get fixated or focused on that one bad thing or that thing that's going on right now or that crisis or that setback. But I want you today just to expand your vision. I want you to begin to come to this altar and just begin to expand your vision and just say, God.